Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Football Ramble. France beat Germany in the big one and Hungary couldn't hold out against Portugal. It's Wednesday, 16th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Paul Pogba.
I notice, Paul, when we talk about Manchester United, you don't turn up. Now we're talking about France, you do.
Oh, that old chestnut, is it?
How are we doing, guys?
Pretty good, thanks. Pretty good.
We are. I tell you what did you do at 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday?
Yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah, I sat down and watched the TV, but there was no game on.
Exactly, yeah.
You should put another game on.
Well, I tried to. I just tried to imagine the news was a game.
Don't put an Arsenal game on.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're in a draw. Yeah, for now.
And I'm watching a bit of the Asian qualifying. See Harvey Renard's boys winning again.
Did they? How did they get on?
They had a lovely old time. Yeah. I think they won 3-0. They definitely won. I know this because I saw him tweet, you know, good performance, good win, lads. Hashtag, you know, win, hashtag qualifies, hashtag Harvey Renard.
Imagine that.
It's a crime that man's not managing the Euros at the moment.
Yeah, it is.
It's the Euros loss.
He's won the Africa Cup of Nations a couple of times.
Absolutely.
And he's now... the World Cup, he got Morocco to the World Cup. They were a little bit unlucky in the group.
Yeah. They were the real winners, though, for most people, weren't they?
I'd say so.
Live long in the memory of that campaign, wouldn't it?
Jim, he's coming back again.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, and you can't stop him.
No, well, I certainly can't stop him getting a mention on the show. So
no, a few minutes.
I'm not going to bother to try.
In the thick of it. In the group stages of the Euros, in the thick of it. People just anticipating sticking their headphones in.
Before we get to...
The world champions have just played. The holders have just played. You know, we're at the end of the groups.
We'll get to that in a minute.
At the end of the games. And no.
Marcus is
just
saying, let's
big Harvey.
As a compromise, let's just do a few minutes on Morocco at the World Cup. Under Harvey. Yeah.
Well, he's at Saudi Arabia now.
I know.
But what did you make of Japan beating Kyrgyzstan? let's talk about the European champions then, if we must. Sorry, everybody. You know, maybe I'll start my own channel or something and we can have it on there. Yeah. But yes, France.
It's already won. They're just launched.
Naughty. Germany. Yeah,
let's not disclose who he makes donations to.
That's enough.
Yeah, come on.
All right. Germany lost at home 1-0 to France. It was an own goal that decided the game. It was quite a bruising encounter, this, Jim.
It was, wasn't
tasty,
it?
Tasty, though, wasn't it?
It was really, really good, wasn't it? I saw a lot of people reacting on Twitter saying it was really boring and a really bad game. I thought it was great. Like, the quality on display, even from Germany, apart from when they got anywhere near the goal, was excellent. And it was really... slick and technical, and it actually felt more like a club game, didn't it? It felt like a sort of high-end, like a late-stage Champions League
people
game.
People saying that about France, aren't they? They look like a club side.
Yeah.
A top-tier club side, which, I say top-tier, you know, an elite club side, shall we say.
Yeah. Because last really season... like a League
well,
Two
I was about to say, last season, Fulham were a top-tier club side. But they do look, and this is the side, they won the World Cup, of course, and a lot of these players were in that team. They know their jobs. They know what they're doing. But also, and perhaps more pressingly... they're really, 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 really good at their jobs.
They've got lots of good players. I think that's something we really hit home for me watching last night.
Not and a seeded side, though, in this Euros.
Well, that's ridiculous, to be frank. But
How they do the seeding, they fell short.
Yeah, it's still ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
They're the best team in the world. I mean, the FIFA rankers will say Belgium are number one team in the world, right?
I haven't checked.
They certainly were up till very recently.
Well, this is a UEFA competition, so we've talked about the FIFA stuff.
Let's do admin. Let's do administrative responsibilities. I thought it was a great game. I really enjoyed it. I felt that Germany lacked a bit of cutting edge, which will be a problem for them if they don't kind of up their game a little bit on that front. I think we've seen a couple of teams who had a bit of a problem with cutting edge so far. But the game was of great quality. I can't believe, if that's the case, people are saying they didn't enjoy the game and they couldn't find any kind of thing to enjoy about it. I thought it was absolutely fascinating. To me, it was really absorbing. Mm. It was like a real narrative to the game. It was a bit ebb and flow. Germany
came roaring back in this.
They did. Yeah. And what I liked about Germany is, and what you'll always get with Germany is, even if people don't fancy them this summer and they think they're not quite a vintage German side at this point, they almost refuse to accept that. It doesn't matter what their limitations are. If they have to play Kimmich out wide, who struggled a little bit, or they don't really have a cutting edge going forward, or a kind of properly recognised striker like they had in the past, like a Closer or someone like that, they still refuse to lie down. They'll still always give you something to think about. Yeah. And I was quite brazen when the tournament started, saying I wouldn't mind England playing Germany at this point. I kind of changed my mind instantly because Germany will always do that to you. They never know really when they're beaten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I think the mission for them now, having seen the Portugal-Hungary game, which we'll come on to as well, is they have lost there, but they've only lost 1-0. They might now need to go all out and absolutely punish Hungary, just thrash them to try and be one of the best placed third teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing thing. I mean, with France, though, I mean, it looked like that they could take it to the next level if they wanted
to. I think France were playing within themselves for sure.
Even within that game.
Yeah.
And you saw, I mean, they're devastating. They look quite devastating going forward. I know they scored the one goal and it was an own goal. So when you say devastating going forward, I mean,
but a couple of marginal decisions.
Of course. But going forward, they obviously look brilliant. But also as well, you think, right, let's have a go at them. And they'll just say, well, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Because you should see the pace on this lad. I mean, we saw a glimpse. Well, not a glimpse. We saw it, Mbappe in full flow running past the defender and then the keeper smothered him. But I just don't know how you go about playing against them.
Well, you can't get caught. This sounds like a pretty obvious thing to say, but to pick up on that, you can't get caught one-on-one against Mbappe. No. Which basically
unless
means...
Unless you're Kyle Walker.
Yeah, well, he can kind of get away with it. Mm. I mean, I don't think enough was made of Hummels yesterday. I thought that was a penalty, by the way.
Yeah.
Everyone said it was a great tackle. He goes through Mbappe to get to the ball, and it's a tackle from behind. I don't know why no one's talking about that.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. It was a marginal one.
In 2021, for me, that's a penalty.
Yeah,
and
tricky.
So I don't know why no one said that. At least had the argument.
Well,
about
now
it.
You've said it.
Thank you very much.
Mbappe seemed quite vocal about it.
And rightly so. He's been tackled from behind, and someone's gone through him to get to the ball. But I was just going to say, this isn't even a must-win game for either team. You obviously want to start well, but it's not knockout football yet.
Germany got Portugal next.
Quite, but what I was I'm just making the point specifically in reference to Mbappe. The point is, if you go a goal down to France in a must-win game, you're up against the wall in a big way because he is so quick, and not only is he just quick, his runs are intelligent, his technique is unbelievable, and his feet, when he's got the ball at his feet, are so quick.
Yeah.
That one when he shifted it and smashed it off the post, but it was ruled out, no one can deal with that. No one.
And I tell you what, older Mercedes Benzema has just slotted into the side, hasn't he? And actually, I know Giroud had some comments earlier on in the tournament, and obviously was there when they won the World Cup.
That's the only thing that's going to undo them.
but he is a better player than Giroud.
Oh, absolutely.
And again,
he suits their style more.
Yeah, you would never know he's in his early 30s. I mean, again, bang, he's in there, and he looks magnificent.
Well, he's one of those players that's getting better and better in his 30s, and also he's had a lot of time off of international football,
which is
probably going to help. Actually, this might have worked out perfectly. And also, I thought Griezmann had a really good game as well. That front three is just ridiculous.
And then behind them, obviously, Kante covers all the ground. And Pogba looks like, when he plays for France, he looks like the best player in the world.
Pogba and Kante really gel as well.
Yeah, that's why I think the take about him looking like he gives a shit more for France is, in my opinion, a wrong take.
Mm.
For me, look at the players he's got around him at France. Mm-hmm. Look who he's got alongside him. What happens is, for Manchester United, every player really, bar a handful at the very top level, have got kind of weaknesses to their game that kind of, at the very, very top level. Pogba's weakness is he can kind of stroll around a bit, but he's got so much quality around him, in front of him, beside him and behind him at France, it's no coincidence to me that he looks better.
I mean, he grows an extra 6 inches when he plays. You know, yeah. His body language. He looks like I'm the best player here in this, and I'm going to dominate. And he does. I do think that there is an element at Manchester United where he sort of drops off his intensity and so on. But let's not dwell on that. We're talking about the Euros.
Mm. Come on, Scott McTominay is not his fault.
Yeah. Well, it's probably more Fred. I think but Manchester United fans would say
any player that plays alongside Paul Pogba and isn't N'Golo Kanté is going to look worse because they're worse than N'Golo Kanté.
Absolutely. Mm.
N'Golo Kanté is arguably the world's best midfield player.
Yeah.
Certainly at what he does.
Certainly, yeah. And also maybe having Deschamps as manager. Mm. I mean, there's a guy who knows exactly the role to play in the centre of the pitch. Now, hang on a minute. With Deschamps, he's won the World Cup as a player. Euros and World Cup as player.
If he wins the Euros as a manager, he's the only person to ever do both as player and manager.
Not too shabby.
It's all right, isn't
not
it?
Not too shabby.
The water carrier.
He said,
he's perhaps proven that
the trophy
wrong.
Carrier.
Yeah, indeed. He said before the game, I am not here to have fun. If so, I would go to Club Med.
Yeah, water carrier. Get some water in.
Is that the one that used to be in Guildford, Club Med?
I think they're all over the place, weren't they? Back in the day. There used to be one in Guildford, I think.
Nice to know you were in there.
Yeah, probably, two blue wickets for a fiver?
I'd say so. It's not there anymore, by the way.
Nah,
I tried to go the other night.
That's a weird reference for him to drop, isn't it?
I don't think it's the Club Med that we see, as Luke says, popping up in provincial England.
I'm thinking it's like Luis Enrique going, oh, you know what, after this I'm just going to go to Butland.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to Yates's. Spoons. I'm going down Spoons.
He probably made some exclusive members club in Monaco or something, Monte Carlo or something.
I think that's probably more likely, isn't it? Yeah. But what about, talking to Paul Pogba, he got his shoulder blade, was it, nibbled on by Antonio Rudiger?
I enjoyed it.
It was an odd choice from Rudiger, wasn't it? Mm.
I mean, Rudiger said
before, you're there.
Yeah, well, he said before the game that Germany are ready to be a little dirty.
I thought that was affectionate.
Yeah. I mean, we know Rudiger's got it in him.
Yeah, for sure. But I didn't think there was too much in it. I thought it was almost like a little bit of a shit tribute band to Luis Suarez, really.
I did see people on Twitter, let's say it's clear who they supported, saying that if Luis Suarez had done that, it would be a lifetime ban.
Suarez did it worse twice.
Empirically, that's not true.
Well, I mean, does that evidence, you know?
Well, who knows?
Does that really? Does it really matter? I tell you what, though. What about Pavard and the head injury? Now, that was quite concerning. He said he was a little knocked out for 10 to 15 seconds.
Let's call it what it is, right? We all like to have a laugh and all the rest of it. It's embarrassing. Mm. It's a premium competition of the world's most popular sport. A football player should not be deciding himself whether he needs to go through concussion protocol or not.
No.
And the fact that he said that afterwards is a damning indictment of the administration of the game. Look, it doesn't even need to be repeated. And I know it's a different medical problem with what happened with Christian Eriksen at the weekend and how good the medical care was, clearly. Football needs to get its act together with head injuries quickly.
All 24 sides in the competition have signed what's called a concussion charter.
Sure, but the medical staff need to take him through it.
Well, I don't know the ins and outs there, but it does seem to be...
Happened in the World Cup final in Germany, didn't it? A few years ago, Giza was out cold, didn't know where he was, carried on playing.
Yeah. It's quite worrying. Also, it's quite worrying that the parachutist landed on the pitch before the game. It was a Greenpeace activist.
Yeah, and he nearly hit Deschamps.
That could have been a lot worse.
It really, really could have.
I mean, have we not had enough at the Euros already? Flipping.
Yeah, I mean, he got caught up in the camera.
In the camera wires sort of thing, yeah. Yeah, a quite sort of alarming sort of event, if you like, just before the game.
Yeah, Rudiger helped him up, didn't he?
Yeah, that's
he had an odd day.
He did have a very odd day.
He did have another. Because what happened was, as you said, the parachutist he hit the spider cam, veered wildly off course, those who haven't seen it.
Came perilously close
to the crowd as well.
A load of debris came down right near the French bench. Uh-huh. Which I didn't plan to rhyme, but did. Mm. And he landed quite heavily because it all went to shit. And then Rudiger goes over and sees if he's all right. I mean, to be fair to Rudiger, he took it in his stride. Mm-hmm. Very, very strange. Very strange.
Yeah, indeed. Did you see that Hansi Flick was sat directly above Yogi Love with the Germany dugout?
Yeah.
Seems sort of quite intense.
Was there anyone sat above him?
Well, I assume
who may take over from Flick.
Yeah, and sort of Franz Beckenbauer's at the top. I don't know.
Yogi Love had a little sniff. He did. He wasn't fully on camera, but at one point he was scratching his nuts.
Oh, dear.
Camera panned slightly to the right, came back again and he was having a sniff.
I would not miss that.
I think it's a huge part of international football at top level, Jim, and I think you'll be careful before you say that kind of thing because you don't know what you got till it's gone. Great stuff.
That's true. I mean, you've mentioned about Germany earlier there. You said, at one point you thought, oh, maybe I wouldn't mind England to get them in the next round, assuming England qualify. Don't like to jinx it for the more superstitious amongst us. But seeing that, though, I was actually quite surprised at how they came sort of roaring back in the second half. You know, Serge Gnabry had a chance, which he sort of that bouncing volley, which went over. And Yogi Love was a bit like, he was annoyed. He said, we need to be more clinical.
Yeah. They had loads more of the ball than France. They just didn't do anything.
I mean, France
seemed
to be quite content with
that. They were fine. Yeah. France got a few more gears to go. I'm almost certain of that. But to answer your question, I think the problem is they don't have a proper cutting edge, right? So your players they bring on, Kevin Volland, okay.
I mean, Kevin Volland looked like he had spoons for feet yesterday.
Timo Werner, he's had his own problems with... I think he's a good player, Timo Werner, but he's had his own problems with goal scoring this season.
And for Germany recently as well, where he became a bit of a laughing stock.
There we go. So I think that they are very capable. They've got lots of good players. But those players that perhaps are the headline players, either through what they've done in the past, through their experience, like Hummels, Kroos... Müller, of course, and Kimmich, kind of flattered to deceive. And I think the exciting young players, if you can still call Gnabry a young player, and Havertz, didn't really seem to have any cutting edge. Having said that, is it fair to judge them against France?
No.
Probably not. So we'll wait and see what we get. But it doesn't get any easier for them, does it?
No.
They've still got to play Portugal.
I think we saw enough in the second half, though, that to think that they are not going to be the complete washout that a lot of people predicted.
Jim, they're never going to be that. Listen, at some point in this tournament, they will beat England and knock them out, and England will have gone a goal up, and it'll probably be 2-1 an extra time.
Yeah. And the goal will be early as well.
But with you know the number of third place teams going through, I mean, if Germany beat Hungary, that might be enough to take them through.
It will be, but well, I don't know what path that puts them on though.
Sure. It gets a bit convoluted there, but never write off the Germans.
No.
Yeah.
As the old expression goes.
People have been trying to write that expression off.
I know,
but don't be so naive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they didn't actually go out in the first round of the 2018 World Cup. They actually got to the quarterfinals. If you look at it again,
where's that come from?
I don't know. Let's have a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Gleeson has the ball and dims it in towards the penalty area. Brennan Camp does a very good job there of holding Maycock.
Oh dear, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's now time for emails.
Show at footballramble.com.
little email here from Sven Ligren. I hope that's how you pronounce his name, Lilligren. He says, regarding Sweden coach Janne Andersson and the trivia about him eating a hot dog with a particular cucumber condiment as a pre-match ritual, I wrote that part for The Guardian about the Swedish team, and while I don't really have anything to add about the game against Spain, I'd like to elaborate on the cucumber condiment. It's called Boston Gurkha, which translates to Boston cucumber, and consists of chopped cucumber, sugar, onions, and vinegar. It was invented in the early 1950s by Herbert Felix as a way to make the most of leftover cucumber at the Felix Food Company in the southern part of Sweden. It hasn't got anything to do with the city of Boston. Name was a suggestion of Mr. Felix's secretary, and they went with it. So
bizarre.
Yeah, I was in Reykjavik once in Iceland, and everyone there when we got there was talking about these hot dogs, right? That you get just this nondescript van down by the docks. It wasn't even like a tourist part of town. People were giving us directions and saying, "Go down there. It's like a 25-minute walk, and you'll just see this kind of nondescript middle of a weekday hot dog place." And I can't stress enough, it was just like a hot dog van at a fun fair. We went there and we had these, we for some reason there's a massive queue. And everyone,
but you think to yourself it's one of these secret little nondescript places which is really good and word of mouth.
You're like this, Marcus. We're in the queue, right? And waited for ages, got these hot dogs, they're amazing. And all you can do is just stand around and eat them. As I look behind the counter, big picture of Wild Bill Clinton, wasn't there? Posing with the owner. With a hot dog.
Wow.
Big Wild Bill was
there. Yeah, he was there.
God. Yeah,
lovely stuff.
He can sniff out a hot dog.
So they say. I didn't expect it. But there we go. Wild Bill's Blimey. Wild Bill's favourite hot dog in Iceland. So there we go.
I do love a hot dog.
He's playing the hot dog like a sax.
I think it's best we move on.
Yeah.
Oh, shoutfootballramble.com.
Didn't know you could do Bill Clinton.
Neither did I.
It's good. It's
just
a good one.
Just had a punt there.
Have another go there.
In the rotation.
Do the email address like him.
Shoutfootballramble.com.
It's good, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
It's better than your Nick Cure. Yeah.
How
ages
dare
on
you?
He's just got up, to be fair, Bill Clinton in that impression, but...
Smokes 40 a day.
You've had a hot dog with Bill Clinton.
Yeah, get in touch.
It's not a euphemism. Get in touch. Right, gentlemen. Hungary were beaten 3-0 at home by Portugal.
Not the whole story, though, is it, Marcus?
Not the whole story. It really isn't. But before we tell it, why don't we get... I tell you what, he's on the blower right now. It's Andy Brassel, live from Budapest. Andy, how are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very well, Andy. Very, very well. Andy, how is your belated stag do in Budapest going?
going swimmingly. All very tame. Was in bed watching the second half of France versus Germany. You know me.
We do know you. You are a man who watches endless amounts of football, even in the queue to get on airplanes, in my experience, on your iPad. How was the game between Hungary and Portugal last night? And from an atmosphere point of view, of course, a lot's been made of the fact that it was a full stadium. Sounded pretty pumping on the TV, but that just might be because we're not used to it. What was it like to actually be there?
It's pretty remarkable, actually. It's hard to put into words because I got there very, very, very early, as you tend to in major tournaments. I was like there 3 hours before kickoff, so I got to see it fill up all the way, and then you just reach this moment, like 20 minutes before, when the crowd starts singing together. And you know what it's like at these big UEFA events? Often there's like quite a big effort to manufacture an atmosphere with deafeningly loud speakers, not like the tinny little ones that I grew up with at football grounds when I was a kid, which in a way can kind of block out an atmosphere. You know, they can drown out the supporters. In the end, they just got rid of all the stuff off the PA because the fans were just carrying it all on their own. And it was absolutely spectacular. And I think you could see that in the second half. As Portugal found it harder to break through, you just found this sort of, the players grew that little bit, the Hungary players grew that little bit because...
Especially Adam
Salai. It was just something special.
Yeah.
There was a sense watching the game, Andy, actually, that effectively the 12th man was really, really energising Hungary, and it made the game a lot more enjoyable as a spectacle. Do you feel that affected the Portuguese players throughout the game? Because until those, you know, floodgates opened, really, it looked like Hungary might be on for a decent point.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, with the disallowed goal, there was this momentary feeling that, you know, that they were maybe putting themselves in a position to nick it. Like I said, Jim, I think the effect it had on the Portugal player, it was less the effect it had on the Portugal players, more the effect it had on the Hungary players, just making them absolutely obdurate and come out of themselves. Because remember, this is a Hungary team stripped of its two best players. And you could see in bits of the first half, there was a massive class gap between the two teams. But Hungary made light of that. And you're right, that 12th man thing, it's kind of a cliche, but it's completely justified and true in this situation.
Andy, Fernando Santos has got a slight sort of Gil from The Simpsons vibe. He tends not to sort of look too enthused and happy. And after the game, he said some things where he was sort of talking himself into, yeah, the performance won't, but yeah, we won 3-0. We won 3-0. No, I am happy. I am happy. I promise you, I am happy with that. What was he happy with that, firstly? I mean, it is a 3-0 win in a European Championship. And also, what's the mood like in the Portugal camp? Because at the end of the game, it was all smiles and hugs and so on. And Cristiano Ronaldo, if he's happy, then presumably they're all happy.
Yeah, and Santos said he was happy. I think there's been a little bit of revisionism, as you suggested there. The fact that it all went to plan because of the late goals, whereas someone pointed out elsewhere in the Portuguese media, it could have easily been a Spain versus Sweden scenario. I think there's a sense of quite nice deja vu, actually, in the Portuguese camp, because that sense of struggling, not massively entertaining, and then getting to a point where you close it out anyway, it felt very Euro 2016. And despite the fact that they've got all these incredible attacking players, they decided to go in with not one, but two defensive midfielders in Danilo and William Carvalho. And you're getting deep into the second half and they're making no impression. And you're thinking, do you not really want to change something? But Fernando Santos, he loves the grind.
Has anything been made over there or in the Portuguese press, if you've had a chance to look at it, about Ronaldo's drink water scenario and his dismissing of the corporate behemoth that is Coke? Because that to me was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it was. Funnily enough, they suggested in one Portuguese outlet that it was maybe a message to his son at home, because he's spoken before about his eldest, Cristianinho, how annoyed he is. He's talked about it, how annoyed he is that he eats crisps and has fizzy drinks. So it seemed like he was saying back home, look, I'm here, but I may not be there, but I am. You can't escape me.
Yeah. I can see you.
And do your 100 step-overs before bed.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like a message. I mean, one even speculated maybe he was in the press conference room because he had this like dagger stare as he pushed him over.
Lovely. Andy, pleasure talking to you, my man. Have a lovely old time. Stay cool, stay safe, and stay very sexy.
See you soon, Andy.
Thanks, you guys. Speak soon.
Andy Brassel there.
Yeah.
What is he really getting up to in Budapest?
I feel like he didn't want to tell us. And maybe when he gets back to the studio at some point during this tournament, he can let us know.
But it's a lot like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, I would imagine. Great. Off doing secret things in all these far-flung locations.
Not Bill Clinton again. Yeah. great to hear from Andy. Great to have someone on the ground there. We had Vish from Hamden. We had Andy from Budapest.
Yeah,
great
us stuff. From London.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm really pleased you asked him about the crowd, because it did feel quite weird, as we said. It seemed quite strange to see it in action.
Because actually, when the small crowds came back, you're like, oh God, it's amazing what a difference a crowd makes. It sounds louder than you expected. But then when you get a proper crowd, it's like, oh my God, that's nothing.
Well, I tell you what, we
imagine
heard them...
90,000 at Wembley booing the knee.
Well, come on. Come on.
I've been on for a while. I need to get all this stuff off my chest.
I know, yeah. Well, some people have been applauding and cheering. So, you know, let's have a bit of balance. But we did hear the crowd roar. It was ultimately a disallowed goal. But I like the way they've been implementing VAR.
Yeah.
Because they when the linesman thinks that's offside, you let the play run. And then when the goal goes in, get the flag up.
It's still shit, though.
No, I know, but you get the flag up because you don't want the celebrations to go on, and then that's the annoying bit. And inevitably, you will have that. But if a goal should be disallowed, then anyway, let's not talk too much
about it. What did you make of the game itself? I thought it was one of those ones where Hungary were obstinate, and they
did their job well, I thought.
Yeah, and then
they had them going for 84 minutes, and it's a shame, because I actually thought if you're a team who's inferior, you're missing one or two key players, and you're playing against obviously a better side, that's exactly how you should go about it. Bit of niggle, not too much though, because you don't want to start getting loads of yellows and all the rest of it, but just a little bit in there. And one thing as well, the temptation for Hungary could have been to just go long to Szalai. He's big boy up front, and he puts his weight about, and I thought he played very well. You just got to try and win the flick-ons, but they didn't actually. They played the ball out of the back quite a bit.
Yeah.
Now, on one hand, that can be a bit dangerous because sometimes you do need to clear your lines. But actually, what that does is it, in a game like that, when you're under the cosh, you want to keep the ball as much as possible. If you can't keep it up front, then keep it at the back. And I know, again, that's a risky tactic. But what that does is it, in a weird way, it does alleviate some pressure, because if you just start going long, the ball comes back and a dynamic sets in, which is really quite polarizing.
And also you're chasing the ball most of the
game.
So you tire quite badly, especially in that kind of heat.
So I thought they went about the task really, really well. I don't know, Ronaldo missed a good chance in the first half, and Jota might have slipped him in. Certainly Ronaldo felt that as well in the first half. But they were undone by a deflected goal, and then old Ronnie helps himself. But I thought they were so close. They were. But Portugal, a vital win for them, considering, you know, they've got Germany and then France.
Well, the only criticism you could level at Hungary, I think, after that effort was just that they wrapped their hands in a little bit in the last five. And that could be crucial, because the three teams can go through in groups and it can be decided on goal difference.
Well, that's what Rossi, the manager, said. He was like, okay, the first one, you're unlucky, but the way we kind of capitulated.
You can't do that.
I think the effort of keeping them out for so long, though, isn't it? And I think it's an interesting game for Portugal because, I mean, certainly into the second half, deep into the second half, it looked like this could be similar to the Spain-Sweden game. But now, I mean, scoring three goals like that just, it does open the floodgates, doesn't it? They're not a team that generally you expect with scoring a lot of goals, but they've got the personnel to be that team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are quite conservative, but I think that this sets them up really, really nicely for the rest of the group now. Mm-hmm. They've shown that they've got goals in. They knew that, but you've got to prove it, haven't you?
They've won 3-0 at the end of the day, you know, and everyone goes off smiling, as we said to Andy. But Cristiano Ronaldo became the first player to appear in 5 Euros. Became the record goal scorer in the history of the Euros, of course. He's now got 106 international goals. He's 3 off Ali Dai's record of 109.
Well, I think he'll get that in this tournament. He'll be trying to, won't he?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's worth pointing out, I know Andy likes to say about how, you know, the Portuguese FA organising friendlies for Ronaldo. Ali Dai's record is vastly inflated as well. I mean, he scored 4 against Guam in a 19-0 win. So let's at least make that point.
Sure.
Yeah. But look, we're not talking about him. We're talking about Cristiano, and it was quite funny at the start of the game when he had a massive pop at Diogo Jota and then missed a really easy chance himself. Yeah, but as ever, Cristiano has the last laugh, right? Because he scores two and business continues as usual.
I mean, there's this kind of really shit meme going around the internet calling him Penaldo now.
Right.
And obviously he gets the first goal from a penalty.
Doesn't even
then
work.
The second one.
Doesn't even work, really.
Yeah, Penandes is what it's extrapolated from.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just...
Fans of a certain club again?
I don't know. It's just people of a certain...
G-Man got the bollocks, Marcus, to say.
No, it's people of a certain intellect. It's thick people.
What are you looking at me when you're saying that?
He's looking at both of us. Yeah. I thought it was a spot-on pun.
If it
play on word.
If it trends, don't look at it. It will make you thicker.
Yeah. Pistiano Ronaldo.
That's the sort of thing.
Yeah. I know. He's just an absolute monster, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he's
an
terrifying.
Absolute goal.
He could tear
monster.
You in half with his bare hands.
Here's a take for you, though.
Go
that
on,
you
then.
Guys might want to laugh out of the studio, and you'd be welcome to do so.
Bench him next game?
When it comes down... No. When it comes down to the crunch, though, if we think that France have got a few more gears to go, and I know we're going to talk about the teams that we've been impressed by most so far in a minute, but if it comes down to it, and you're in a big semi-final or even a final, and you could possibly argue that if you get to the final, that's a successful tournament. But Portugal are the holders. They want to win it. They want to defend it. Is it going to be sustainable to have so many other players doing the running for him? He's been paired up with players who run on his behalf a lot. Mm. He's a striker now, really, but he's not a striker that will press from the front and do all the running that needs to be done. And it's fine against Hungary with respect to Hungary. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be fine in the latter stages? I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying it's a question worth asking.
Could be. I mean, Joao Felix was on the bench, remember? Mm. You know, they have reinforcements to bring on and whatnot, but it is a fair question. Mm. It is a fair question. Gentlemen, Leonardo Bonucci of Italy fame, of course, revealed that England are the team that has impressed him the most so far. He may well have said that before the two games yesterday.
I know what you're doing, Leonardo, there. You're not going to fucking get him up. Well, the problem is he is going to get under our skin there.
Yeah. but we've seen everybody play once now.
Mm. Yeah.
Jim, who's impressed you the most so far? Who's disappointed you as well?
I would say France have impressed me the most. It's not unsurprising, is it? They just looked like world champions yesterday. Mm-hmm. Portugal, I think there's more to come from. So actually, I think they're impressive in their own way. But I think outside of that, I'm still really struck by Italy's performance, actually, themselves, on the opening day. I thought they were.
Can I just say, you've missed an opportunity not listing all the Scottish Premiership teams there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
like Craig Brown.
That's right.
I think France have got more gears to go through. I thought that Italy were good, and they were probably up against more than Belgium were. So that's kind of why it's more worthy of kind of comment. Mm-hmm. Belgium looked decent, but you don't really know what they're up against. I didn't think they were up against much, really.
Yeah. No, but they still look good, though.
And I actually thought, you know what, you're gonna hammer me for saying this, and if you don't, the listeners will. I actually think England were decent. Mm-hmm. I think the way England...
Well, you and Bonucci, both.
Well, we're peas in the pod.
Yeah.
Both very, very strong, physically impressive centre-back. the thing England had, and it might just be because I know a little bit more about England than I do the other nations, is that England had a lot of challenges to overcome. Mm. They had... I know it sounds like a stupid thing to say, but it is a factor, sadly. It was a really hot day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys mentioned it.
I think it's the fact that it was in the sun as well. I think everyone's had hot temperatures to play in and so on. But when the sun's beating down, it does add to it.
There was a lot of shade, though, as the BBC got complaints about.
You can't just play on one side of the pitch, though. England, or Scotland might want to, because of Tierney and Robertson. But England had a lot of, a kind of bit of an old enemy to overcome. There's a lot of pressure on them. They're a very, very young team. Mm. And I thought they controlled the game pretty well. I didn't understand why people were criticising that performance. I thought it was very, very strong. So England, I thought, were good because they played their toughest game first and you don't want to get caught cold. Mm-hmm. I thought Italy were good, as Jim said. I thought France were good. I thought Spain were really disappointing. And that is going to absolutely come back to haunt them because they dominated the game. They couldn't get the goal. And
do you
now,
think?
Oh, I think
hold
so.
Them.
I think so. Yeah,
yeah. I think Spain will be nervous now. I thought they were so tedious.
But
to
all
watch,
this stuff
to
with Morata, with the fans, like
yeah,
really
and that
giving
doesn't
them
help,
a lot
does
stick.
It? Yeah, it's that's really, really unfortunate. They just look like the absolute epitome of a transitional team.
Yeah,
I think I wonder if Moreno will start the next game, but obviously that in itself becomes a narrative. They're in a tough situation there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think as we touched on before, I agree that Italy were more impressive than Belgium, largely because of what was in front of them. I think we're still yet to see Belgium be tested, which, you know, might be, well, it is really testament to how good they are and where we consider them to be now. But with Italy, what I thought was great was Turkey tried to play in a certain way against them and they just dismantled it. Mm-hmm. They put up a wall and Italy just took it down brick by brick.
And they're in such good form going into the tournament. You talk about France looking like a top-level club side. Italy, they all know their job.
Yeah.
You can see the class. They didn't get intimidated by the fact they were the first team to play. They didn't get intimidated by the expectation. They've got a nice balance to their team. People have criticised them going into the tournament saying they don't have a real top-level striker. I mean, they're sharing the goals around.
Immobile, I mean, he's not far off.
I know. I mean, but his record for Italy is not great. Goal-scoring record.
It's not shocking, though.
It's not top-level, Marcus.
Well, okay, I understand. They've not got, say, a Lukaku or something, but they've got a guy who I think can score goals.
Mm. And going back to your Morata point about Spain, I mean, the problem with Morata is he just misses so many big chances. It's dogged him his whole career. I don't agree with the treatment he's got because, you know, he's obviously doing his very best and everything. But if he's the best they've got, they're not going to go near to winning this tournament with him. So, and don't forget with the Spain thing, it's not just the fact that you can look at the 85% possession and go, Sweden rode their luck. Sweden should have scored.
Yeah.
They probably should have scored twice. Mm. And that's not a great habit to be in if you're Spain.
Olsen had a lovely time in goal. Though,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Oh, he did. Yeah, he played well.
He was absolutely brilliant. But you mentioned Turkey there. I mean, they were perhaps the side that's disappointed me the most. You know, Andy and one or two others were saying, actually, it could be dark horses. And so, you know, the wall of meat and all that kind of stuff. And it was carved up, Jim.
It really was.
But they're playing Wales later on today. At the time of recording, it's later on
today.
See,
this is going to be a real interesting test of both, isn't it?
Mm. I'm pleased for Wales that they got Turkey after Switzerland. You know, got the point. If they got a win today, I'll tell you what, they're off. That's effectively through to the next round, although I don't want to jinx them. But it will be like a home game for Turkey because of the Azerbaijan, a lot of good feeling towards Turkey with close political ties and blah, 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 blah. But that's the chat coming from that part of the world, that they're very much behind Turkey. The last time that Turkey played Wales was in a World Cup qualifier in 1997, which Turkey won 6-4. I'd rather Wales win, but yes, please.
What a game. One of those
the other way around. Yes, please.
Exactly. So did you see, we often talk about Peter Reid and hotel bars and so on. I think Dean Saunders is the Wales equivalent of Peter Reid.
Mm.
Very much so.
Yeah,
it's a great comparison.
Well, he was doing an impromptu training session in a restaurant in Baku, showing staff how to hold off a defender in turn. That was a few days ago.
A training session.
Yeah, was this?
Tell you what,
he was a man in a restaurant being a bore. It's not a training session.
Was it solicited? I can't imagine anyone's gone, can you show us how to trap a ball?
I don't know, Jim. But
he's very much like that though, Dean. He's always off his chair.
Oh, well, I asked him about the England squad and I said, do you think Southgate, who should he have taken and who should he not? And he said, well, you know, I would have taken. Who's that, Dean? Do you mean Defoe?
Yeah. He did actually say that, didn't he?
No, well, he said Man United should have signed him.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
About 2 years ago.
Can I which is not long ago enough, is it?
No.
Let's make that absolutely clear.
No.
Can I please just say, for those who are listening to this show before the game this afternoon at 5 o'clock, this is the biggest moment in Wales's tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've got to play Italy after this.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they win this game today against a team who flattered to deceive a little bit, Turkey, they're going to go through.
Yeah.
Right. I know, I think I'm right in saying you can technically go through with two draws, depending on how the cards fall elsewhere. It's touch and go.
3 points is probably your minimum.
You want 3 points. Well, do we honestly think they're going to get 3 points against Italy? It's possible, but it's not very likely.
Yeah,
so they need to win today.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right, everybody. Well, we're looking forward to that one indeed. If you're enjoying our Euros coverage, then do get over to the review section on your podcast app and give those 5 stars a tap. Damn you. It means a lot to us and helps listeners find the show and join you lovely lot as ramblers. So that would be absolutely marvellous. On tomorrow's show, Jim, you're back. And so are you, Luke. And Kate is sitting in the chair, directing, guiding you, shepherding you in your opinions.
We're subbing you out for Kate.
Yeah, thank goodness, because I'm quite warm here.
Yeah, it's bloody hot in
there. Absolutely right. There we are, ladies and gentlemen, though. Pleasure podding with you all. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.